here on The Scoop, helping us celebrate a victory Monday for the Vikings and also the reigning initials champion. AJ Mansoor joins The Scoop once again today. AJ, we were just talking before we hopped on the air here about just how nice it is to get back to celebrating a big win after what the Vikings did yesterday.
Well, imagine. I don't know what the weather's like there, but it's been rainy all day here, cloudy and cold, and it feels a little bit better when you have the warmth of a nice Vikings victory to lean back on. It could be a lot worse. Wins are always better than losses, but yes, it feels in a way like they righted the ship a little bit, beating a good Philadelphia Eagles team on the road and getting back to their winning ways.
23-21, the final score, and the Vikings had a much more sizable lead than that through most of the game before the Eagles were able to make a comeback at the end. AJ, the defense looked much more like we have seen over the past couple of years. Were there any big changes that you were able to notice, or was it simply just the defense having players step up and make some plays?
Well, a little of both, I guess. You know, you talked to Mike Zimmer all through the week last week, and then after the game, you know, today and yesterday, and he's going to lean back on the fact that maybe they were getting a little too cute on defense. They were trying to do too many things, and they were getting away from the basics. And I don't know if that was an excuse for his players and their poor execution, because I do believe that factored in a little bit. But they were maybe getting a little too big for their britches and calling some plays, putting some scenarios in there that high risk, low reward. And they were getting beat on them. So they went back to the basics, focused on the things that they did the last couple of years to make them really well or really good, and they figured it out. Now I don't think it was a perfectly executed defensive game plan. There were still some flaws, more so in that second half when you start to get tired and you get a little more lazy, a little more quick to let up on certain parts of the scheme. But at the same time, they were able to get out there and have those big impactful plays. The smart plays, they got a couple turnovers, they got the pressure on the quarterback in some interesting ways. That's Vikings defense, and that's Mike Zimmer's defense. So to see them get back, I think that was the most encouraging thing, because Kirk has pretty much been on fire all season. Now the defense is back, and this should be a team that is one to reckon with on a week-by-week basis.
Always good when you get a scoop and score by Linval. I didn't realize that he was that fast, because he had some wheels on that touchdown run.
I had somebody from Fargo this morning ask me if I thought that I could have beaten Linval Joseph in a 60-yard dash to the end zone there, and I don't think so. That's a big man, and he's very fast. So it's interesting because he doesn't look like he's moving fast, but he's covering ground really quickly. So he's deceptively quick. Everyone kind of equated it to, Kevin Love used to call it small area quickness, and that was what he uses on the defensive line, but he gets into that open space too, away from a couple guys, and before you know it, he's in the end zone.
AJ, I thought it was a great day for John DeFilippo yesterday. Of course, former quarterbacks coach for the Eagles, so he was fired up to get a chance to take down the Eagles. But we saw a lot of creativity on offense, trying to get the running game going a little bit, using Stephon Diggs for some designed runs. And it just seemed like he pulled out a bunch of things from his bag of tricks that we hadn't seen yet, and gave it everything he had against that Eagles defense.
Well, and that's the thing. You don't have to go out there and run trick plays per se all the time to really have that effectiveness and that creativity on offense. I think that of the plays that he ran, we call it more creative because it was pretty bland through the first 4 weeks of the year. So you get out there, you do some just different things, different formations, different handoffs to Stephon Diggs, line up the tight ends and the running backs a little differently, and you don't have to get too outside of the box. You don't have to put somebody in a position that they're uncomfortable in, and you can still give the defense a different look, make them play you straight. I don't think by any means it was a great run effort for this team. I think there's still some things that they can improve on, but to date, it was probably their best game on the ground, and that obviously keeps the defense playing even, and that opens up some things in the passing game. But this is, make no mistake about it, this is a pass-first team. You have a quarterback now that has completed 30 or more passes in four straight games. That's the first time ever in the history of the NFL that that has happened. Kirk Cousins is the one to do it. A lot of that is out of necessity because they are extending the run game through the short pass game. They are forced to play from behind in some of those earlier games this season, so they're throwing a lot. And he's been very accurate. He's been dynamic with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. They're building up a trust right there between those three, and it's becoming a fun football team to watch. And again, as they progressively work through these run game woes, hopefully this will work, because by the time that the playoffs come, you need to have some semblance of a run game more than they have right now.
I feel like we're achieving broken record status just with what we've seen from Cousins here over the first few weeks of the season. And I know one of the big knocks on him coming in to this year was that he didn't seem to really handle pressure as well as maybe Case Keenum did or some other quarterbacks that we've seen in previous years. But my goodness, it seemed like every throw that he made, he was either in the process of getting knocked down or was getting hit in some fashion by the Eagles' defense, and he seemed completely unfazed by it and had another incredible game against a very good defense.
Yeah, you can assess it any way you want, and not you, but anybody can. It's a if Case Keenum was able to evade pressure, Kirk Cousins sticks in the pocket and takes the pressure, and he's still effective. Like you mentioned, he steps into the hits. He doesn't get out of the way. Sometimes he's thrown off of a back foot out of necessity, but he has the ability to do it. He's not making a stupid play across the body, across the field. He's hitting his wide receivers in a spot where he can't even see him. I mean, he said that. Sometimes he can't even see Adam Thielen, but he knows that he has a half step on the defender, and he's going to be at this spot at this point in time. So he leads him there, he takes the hit, and before you know it, he's crawling off the ground, moving up 15 yards up the field because they keep moving the ball. So this rapport that specifically he has with Adam Thielen, obviously he has it with Stephon Diggs to some degree as well, mixing in Kyle Rudolph. I mean, this is a different kind of quarterback than Case Keenum, but I do believe that the evasion of pressure is not as important because he'll stick in the pocket for that extra second. Now, is that going to cause wear and tear on his body, and is he going to take a hit that maybe is going to be the one that sets him to the bench for a little while? That is a different concern. But as for now, he's sticking in there, he's playing tough, and he's finding his receivers at the biggest moments of the game.
Dan Bailey had a couple of kicks that he missed, and I didn't feel as nervous as if it would have still been Daniel Carlson lining up for that 52-yarder. I mean, still just kind of hoping that he made the kick, but what did you think of Bailey's day and his ability to kind of shake off the struggles and still hit that big kick at the end?
It was weird. It was, I don't know if it was a full moon yesterday or what the deal was, but it seemed like across the league, obviously Mason Crosby had five misses, I think, four with field goals and one extra point. The Cleveland kicker, who I forget his name because he's brand new, he missed some kicks. I mean, it seems to be happening more and more across the league, and I don't know what it is. I really don't. The best coaches and players and kickers in the league don't know what it is. Otherwise, they'd fix it. But something is just weird right now, and he missed a couple kicks. He's the second most accurate kicker in the history of the NFL, so it's out of character. It's not expected. Like you mentioned, you get up for that 52-yarder to give yourself some separation and make it a two-possession game at the end. You were more confident than I was, but at the same time, it is the guy who he's been there. He's done that before, and he popped up and knocked that one through to give the Vikings ultimately the victory. So, I don't think it's something to be concerned about, but it was just strange. Maybe that's the best way to put it and just leave it. It was just a weird day for Dan Bailey and many kickers around the league.
AJ, the prevent defense that the Vikings went into on that last series, I know is drawing a lot of angst from fans. In that situation, would you have liked to have seen the defense be a little bit more aggressive, or were they simply just trying to keep everything in front of them?
I would have liked them to be more aggressive, or at least stand pat, do what you've done the entire game. It's worked. It's not like the Philadelphia Eagles just decided on that last drive, okay, now we're going to try and score. They were trying to score all game, and they were being contained by the defense that they had out there on the field. It was an aggressive defense. They were getting pressure on the quarterback, whether it be through blitz or the four-man rush, and they were being aggressive. I don't remember a time trying to rack my brain real quick that they really got beat over the top for anything gigantic outside of when they went into that prevent defense at the end. So I think that sometimes you overthink yourself a little bit, and it makes sense to fall into a prevent defense trying to keep the team out of the end zone. But, you know, depending on the tactic that they wanted to do, Philadelphia needed a field goal and they needed a touchdown. They obviously got the touchdown first, but they very easily could have very quickly, because you're in the prevent, gotten into field goal range, kicked a field goal, and then gone for the touchdown after an onside kick. And what would we be saying then? I think, you know, you just need to stick with what you're doing. You're the best defense in the league on some days, and I think you just need to go out there and continue doing your play to the strengths of your defense. I don't think prevent defense plays to the strengths of Harrison Smith or Anderson Dejo, or for sure not that defensive line. So I agree with everybody who was kind of frustrated with the way that they ended that game, the decision to kind of fall back into that prevent. I didn't like it, and I don't think they should do it again. I really believe you're out there and you've proven you can stop this team by stopping them all game long. Just do it one more time, and you can end this thing much quicker than it actually ended up being.
Doug Peterson had a weird game. He goes for the challenge that was really, I still can't figure out what exactly he thought he saw on that challenge, and then got questioned about the two-point conversion attempt to get it to 20 to 14 at that point. It's weird to see coaches have bad games, but they have some off performances as well, and it seemed like that was a huge factor in the game also.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to sit here and justify all the decisions that Doug Peterson made, but there are certainly some arguments to some of the moves and decisions that he did make as being more of a new school and correct way of thinking. Let's start with that two-point conversion. There's some people that are much smarter than you and I that are crunching the numbers and showcasing that going for two in that scenario actually gives your team a better win probability. Now, there's some big equation. I don't have it in front of me, but I know there's some outlets that have kind of highlighted that's it's kind of a new school way of thinking, but if you're able to convert on one of those two-point conversions, you have a higher percentage of chance of winning that game than if you were just to kick the two extra points that are basically considered gimmies. Now another scenario where he kind of drew some criticism was later in the game when they were going to go for it on fourth down. They faked it. They tried to draw the Vikings offsides, and they ended up punting. They lined up. It was fourth and 20, I think, and they lined up to as if they were going for it. It was kind of a question mark thing, like what are they doing? Are they really going to do this? But they forced the Vikings to take a timeout, and that was an aggressive approach. The Vikings take a timeout, and the Eagles haul their punt team out there and take over and kick the ball away. So you force your opposition to use an early timeout that maybe they weren't planning on using, and who knows when that comes into effect later on in the game to your benefit. So again, I think that there were some strange things. That the challenge was just terrible. I don't know what he was doing there. But I think he just takes a new school aggressive approach that is just different for most football fans. And it's different for most football coaches. I think that a lot of coaches disagree with it, but doesn't mean that it necessarily is wrong.
Next up, AJ, the Vikings will host the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday at US Bank Stadium. The Cardinals coming off of their first win of the season, but they're going with a young quarterback in Josh Rosen, and their offense really has not been good. 13 points per game is all they're scoring at this point. Looking at this matchup against the Cardinals, are we expecting and hoping that this Vikings defense can continue what has been a little bit of a resurgence after this Philadelphia game?
Well, that's definitely the thought and the hope. I think that you would hope that they carry over some of that momentum, some of that confidence that they got back against a good football team in Philadelphia, and they carry it over to use against a not-good football team in Arizona. I think you look at the Cardinals, and you need to stop that run game. You need to stop David Johnson, and then you let everything else fall into place. You have a young quarterback who's going to make some mistakes. You need to be ready for that moment and then pounce on it when you have it, if you can get pressure on him. I think that even expedites the pressure that he feels in the pocket and the pressure he feels to get the ball out of his hands quickly. And we all know that a lot of times that can lead to making bad decisions, making bad throws, and leading to interceptions and turnovers. So Everything is there for the Vikings to take this game, but we've said that before. We've been bitten in the butt by it before, and you can't take anything for granted anymore. So maybe you look back at that Buffalo Bills game at the end of the season and say, hey, it came at the right time to really wake us up. You know, everyone was talking Super Bowl for the Minnesota Vikings, and then you lost to the Bills. Maybe the Bills aren't that bad, but maybe you need to be on your guard every single game. And I think that that hopefully is the number one thing that they do carry over into this next week. And then the next week after that with the New York Jets, who can show some high-flying offense as well.
AJ, final one for you. Dalvin Cook, where is he at? And can we expect to see him in the game on Sunday?
You know, the hope is that he had a long week and a half and then can have another week here to get that thing fully healthy. That hamstring that he maybe came back a little too quick on, maybe tweaked it a little bit. We don't really know. But the hope is that you have that long layover after the Rams game. You have another light week this week as you get ready for the Cardinals. And you're able to get him back out there in probably a limited role. You know, if he comes back this week, again, I would expect that they do the old snap count on him, and they mix in Latavius Murray. Obviously, they mixed in Mike Boone, Brock Thomas this last week as well. They have some options. I think that if for the time being, if you don't need to put him out there too much for this Cardinals game, get him a little more rest. But at the same time, you know, he needs to get healthy. He needs to start moving and get used to football shape again. Because in his career, no fault of his own, he's missed a lot of games through the short year and a half of his professional career.
Very good, AJ. We'll see how things turn out between Vikings and Cardinals here this weekend. Just glad to be back in the win column after a big win against the Eagles yesterday. Before we let you go, any content over at KFAN that the listeners can be keeping an eye out for? Of course, also trying to see if you can finally pass Meat Sauce in the initials game. That'll be something I'll be keeping an eye on Friday as well.
That's right. We evened up the score last week with a victory, so I'll see if I can pass Meat Sauce. You know, one funny video from yesterday's game, Linval Joseph chasing the quarterback out of the pockets, out to the sidelines. He runs to the sidelines, and former Minnesota Viking KFN contributor Ben Lieber went to give him knuckles and got stood up and left hanging by Linval. That was kind of something we were laughing at today. That video is up there, as well as a bunch of coverage from the game.
Outstanding, AJ. Great stuff again here from you today. We'll see what happens on Sunday, and we'll break it all down with you again next week.
Sounds good, bud. Have a good week.